Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
And I'm Dr. Joanne White, and welcome to Power Your Life. This is a very special day, firstly, because it's warm and sunny in New Jersey, which we need. We finally have spring. Spring has arrived. And secondly, because I have someone that I think is a most incredible guest with so much know-how and so much experience that she's really going to help you. And I know that in just the brief time that I spoke with her, she gave me some really pertinent ideas to really help me be on camera and have that impact. And I'm talking about Sandra D. Robinson, who's an actress, a speaker, a radio host, and the founder of Charisma on Camera Media Training Studio located in Los Angeles, California. She helps experts and visionaries look and feel like a rock star when they step in front of a TV or in front of the video camera. And today, I'm delighted that she's going to share tips and secrets that are going to help us also feel like rock stars in front of the camera lens and reap the benefits of visual media. You know, video and visual media is so essential to businesses today. People are posting blogs with video in social media. So we're really going to find out the importance of being the best that we can be both on and off camera. And Sandra is also going to discuss the importance of finding your passion in your message and in your life. As a coach, consultant to entrepreneurs, authors, politicians, celebrities, and experts, she helps them develop confidence in their personal on-camera brand. Sandra's appeared in major roles on Another World, Sunset Beach, Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital, Days of Our Lives. I can go on and on and on. And guest starred on many primetime shows as well. Currently, she's on The Bay, the series, and continues to work as an on-camera host. She's the author of the upcoming book, Make an Impact, Seven Secrets to Creating an Influential Visual Brand, Both on Camera and Off. And today, we're going to hear some of those secrets. So, welcome. How are you, Sandra?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on. That's a great way to start the day. You know, I've been coaching about this, and I said, you know, start your day in a positive way. This is a great way to do it, so I'm really happy. And it's sunny there, huh?
It's sunny, and it's 70 degrees, so it's like we're like where you're living now, just for a few
moments.
That's
what I was going to say. It's like Los Angeles, Southern California.
Now, we have to do a public apology here because I had you on the show a while ago, and we had some glitches with the show, and you were so wonderful, and there was no way to really salvage the show. So I want to make a public apology to you because your words were so profound. And really, I know in the short time that we spoke, they helped me. So we're going to really get people engaged in that and really be able to find out your expertise. Now,
way to raise bar, Joanne. Thanks. Now I got to be good.
Oh, I think you're a natural. I think you're a natural, so it's not a problem at all, really. So, firstly, I mean, take a look at, you know, I could have gone on and on and on with everything that you've acted in and whatever. Two and a Half Men, The Summers of Our Discontent, The Man in the Silo, The Grove, Ice Dreams, their movies, Zoe, the TV's Criminal Minds, Out of Practice, I mean, The Heartbreak Kid. These are movies and also TV series. And so you have been very comfortable, or at least it looks like, right, in front of the camera. But you have another story to share with us, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like I would be comfortable in front of the camera. And in fact, that was where those expectations of me being good in front of the camera were something that actually prompted me to end up where I am today. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I'd be teaching people to speak and present on camera and, you know, and live and in-person presentations, I would have thought that you were absolutely crazy. There's no way. I was extremely shy. So the ability to take on a character really came from a need to, it was kind of like, I guess, you know, everybody has the things that they're dealt. Let's say like a deck of cards, right? You're dealt a hand and you get some aces, you get some jokers. And for, you know, for me, part of the challenge that I had was that I was raised with some, you know, some negative beliefs that popped into my head that basically told me that I wasn't worthy. I wasn't really a planned baby. And, well, you know, dad was thrilled, mom, maybe not so much. So I was kind of raised with that thought of, well, you need to fit in and, you know, and don't be seen, don't stand out. And you're not worthy of being here anyway. Kind of that was really where I was in my head. And that stuck with me because at that time I didn't have anybody telling me, you know, any of the great modalities that we have now to help us get over that stuff. So I carried it with me into my young adulthood. And I, during that time, found my refuge in characters. So I guess you could say it was the way I sought to survive. And anybody that goes through, you know, trouble in their life and those that have had any kind of, you know, abuse or whatever, not that I was, you know, abused. There's always worse situations than mine. But anybody that goes through that will find a way to overcome it. They'll find a way to survive. And they'll make up, you know, some sort of mechanism that allows them to get through their daily life. And for me, that's where I found refuge, was becoming a character. That way I could talk to anybody. I could be haughty. I could be sexy. I could be funny. I could be all of these wonderful things. And the second that I stepped out of the character or stepped off the stage, you know, in my high school productions or something, or even off the stage in the soap operas that I ended up booking because I was so devoted to becoming someone else, I got really good at it. As soon as I would step off the stage, I would go back to that, you know, why do the fans want my autograph? I'm not worthy of that. Literally, that's where my head was. So when people would bring me in to represent their charity and put me in front of the camera, or I would even take the opportunities if it was offered to, you know, to get paid and do an infomercial on skincare or something. Well, when I would show up, I would wait for the director to come up and give me a script and tell me who I was. And that was really, that's the reality of it, is I waited for directors and writers to tell me who I was. So when they said to me, and we've, you know, anybody that's gotten in front of a camera with a camera person and tried to do a video, you may have heard them say, just be yourself. Look right at the camera like it's your best friend, right? I didn't know who myself was. So I completely fell apart. So I actually was in a worse state of mind, a worse place to start from than most people that I work with. I work with experts. I work with, you know, I say I work with visionaries, meaning I work with people. I seem to attract folks that have a big why. They have a big passion to get the message out about what they're doing, and they have great ideas for how they can change the world and make that impact. And so they have that knowledge that in their field of expertise. They have all the momentum that they need, but they know they need a little push, and usually visual media is going to get them there. So I'm working with people on layers of discomfort that usually don't parallel as deep as my discomfort was. But that's,
you know,
because I can see anywhere that they are in this theme, you know what I mean?
Right. I think a lot of people get messages, whether they're intentional or not, they get messages that somehow they're not good enough. Stop doing that. Why'd you throw the ball there? Look at what your sisters go, you know, and parents, sometimes they're just thrown away comments that people don't think they're making such a strong impact on young minds,
but they do.
So maybe part of our message today is to be careful what we're communicating to our kids, because they hold on to it for so very, very long. Now, what's going on is today, I mentioned this, and that's because you and I have spoken before about video really being so very important to business. I mean, I'm working with a web person who says, we need more pictures of you. We need more video of you. And I'm thinking, more video. So how do people like me, and have people like me who haven't been, well, maybe I'm different too, because I do a lot of seminars and I do have, you know, I do stand in front of people and I'm much
right.
more comfortable. But how do people who want to even convey that information, even through social media, or really want to be, make more of an impact visually in terms of their businesses or their jobs, how do they get comfortable? What's one of the secrets to being comfortable on camera?
Well, it's good that you mentioned, you know, social media and getting out there and the fact that they said we need more pictures. We're a very visual society. So first you have to recognize that the time is now. Actually, the time was yesterday. So there is quite a bit of pressure. If you have a business, even if it's brick and mortar, it is very important that if you have especially any kind of presence on the web, you need to have some sort of video that represents you, your energy, what you do, why you do what you do. We are so programmed to catching our information in a visual format, particularly television and video. And, you know, I want to know how to do something. I Google it on, and I go to YouTube. In fact, sometimes I go to YouTube first. And I've been doing that a lot in this past week and a half, going, wow, this has really become my old, you know, yellow pages. Remember growing up, we had the yellow pages, that big book that you have to flip open and look for stuff.
Right.
That doesn't exist anymore. Now it's actually YouTube. YouTube is where I go. It's where a lot of people go. We look for videos for information and problems that we have. So you need to have that. If you don't, you're going to lose your business, period. And that really seems really harsh, but it's true. Think about yourself. Most people, if they go to our website, they're referred to somebody, there's bullet points, there's a thumbnail for video. What do you click on first? What do you look at first? You know, and if that video holds you and you catch the energy from that person, notice I said you catch the energy. I'll talk about that. That's one of my biggest tips to get started. You catch the energy from that person and it resonates, then you're going to continue with that. If you click on that thumbnail, on the other hand, this is why I say don't go out there and wing it. If you click on that thumbnail and a video plays and the energy of the person is very low, or you can't hear them, or you can't see them very well, or it's a jittery kind of, you know, somebody's holding a camera and it's very jittery. If there's something that takes away instantly from the message the person is trying to relate or from the energy that they're trying to get across to you, you may not be engaged, and in fact, you will click off completely. So video is very powerful, but you have to come to it with the right mindset and the right idea. Now, I don't want to intimidate people by thinking it has to be something fancy. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. Notice what I said. Can you see them? Can you hear them? And is their energy high? That's pretty basic.
So basically, it's about the energy and really being able to capture somebody's. You talk about essence, which is very important. Now, you have a quote that I was reading some articles that you've written, and you're also, you know, you've done a lot in terms of writing, and you have this quote that I love. So it says, I think everyone is designed to make an impact on the world. You can create your trust, your recognition factor, and you can blow your brand bigger than you have any idea right now.
True.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do,
oh,
and it's true. And I think I wrote that on a day that I had received a phone call from a client, and this woman had only taken, I think she had only taken a workshop or two with me. She wasn't even a private client. But when she walked into the workshop, she started shaking as soon as she saw the lights and the camera set up. And she came in because she had a product that really needed to be demonstrated. It was a healthcare machine that she was one of the only people in the country that could work it. And it was like, if you explained it to somebody, they go, what? So she really needed to demonstrate with video, and she needed to also train other people. So she was really feeling the pull to get out there and get in front of the camera, but she was absolutely terrified. And that woman ended up saying, okay, she left and she was actually excited. She goes, not only am I going to do a video on this, she goes, I'm going to start regular blogs. And she did. And she just went far above and beyond. And I think also I can sit there and I can look at people that came to me that said, you know, I just want to do a video or two, and they end up getting media. One girl that came to me like that is actually getting her own show. You know, and that's just one girl that comes to mind. But I have plenty of clients that have come to me saying, I just need to do this. And then when the comfort level is reached, here's the key and the thing to keep in mind for people that are thinking that it's a big deal to get started with video in their business. The idea behind this is that you have fun. When you reach that level of comfort, you know, I have processes that I go through with people in my, even in my virtual training, I have, you know, free downloadable training on my website at charismaoncamera.com. You go through those programs, you can go through, you know, one day seminars with me, live events. There's, you know, an online training program that I do where I really interact with everybody. Any of those things that you choose, if you devote yourself to getting to the point where, you know, you have that freedom and it doesn't take much from most people, you will then actually start to enjoy the process. So what seems like, you know, this pressure on you to get involved and do something actually is a great freedom of expression. Realize how many more people you can reach. And it's not about creating something. This is a big tip that I want to share. It's not about creating something that everyone will love. It's not about finding somebody that has done a video and copying them if they're in your business. In fact, it's just the opposite. You want to find somebody that is successful, maybe, you know, break down what you like about what they're doing. I'm not saying disregard everything that they've got going on, but do not get there and try to imitate that person. I did it. It's coming from experience. I'm telling you right now, I did it. When I started my business, I looked at people that were...
Basically, you're telling people that they need to actually be themselves and to pull out something from themselves that's so genuine that when they're in front of the camera or even off camera, that's coming through. That's that essence that you're talking about,
and that
energy
that's
that you're talking about.
That's the what I call visual brand. Now, other people use that term. When I use it, I can tell you very explicitly what it means. It's the energy that comes off of you. When we see you, it has to be consistent. I'm not saying that you should say the same things. We're the same thing every time we see you. But what I'm saying is that your energy and your underlying message has to be consistent so that, you know, if you think about the difference in visual branding between people that are personalities, on-air personalities, television personalities that we know. Let's use Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, and Oprah Winfrey. Now, any one of them, right, can sit there and tell you how to throw an incredible dinner party. But if one walks in the room and says, I'm going to show you how to throw a dinner party, if it's Martha Stewart, you know her approach is going to be very different. And her way of speaking to you and her target market is completely different than that of Rachel Ray. And Oprah Winfrey is going to have a completely different way of relaying what type of, you know, how you should do this dinner party. Yet, am I right? There's always somebody in that group. There's always somebody in that group that women in the audience would go, yep, I have a preference over that. So, of course you do. And then there's going to be one of those women that you really don't care to listen to. And
you know what,
it's not that one is better than the other. It's just that's where their visual brand attracts their people. And your visual brand with your energy has to attract your people. That's all you want. You don't want everybody.
But you know what? Firstly, you have to figure out what your visual brand is, too. And so many people don't know that. But I want to get back to something you said earlier, which was about this client who came in with the jitters, because that's the first thing. If people are, I mean, how do people get control of that? You said you experienced that when you were a kid, but you had, you know, when you were
horrible.
On stage and you were young, you had a lot of, you had a lot of help. Now, we're having somebody that came to you who has a fantastic product.
I'll tell you what happened. And it's interesting because I did have a lot of help. I felt the need that I needed to figure out the bottom of this because I was getting asked to do these things and step in front of the camera to, quote, unquote, be myself because I had a fan following. And see, that's what I try to encourage my clients to get. Like, you want fans. Fans talk about you. Fans spread the word. Fans are awesome. We love fans. Well, I got the fans before I had the comfort on camera as myself. I got the fans because I was an actor and they liked my character. But because I had the fans, people would think that I was going to come in and they saw me on television all the time. They'd think I was going to be great. So I had this horrible disconnect and this feeling of being a failure every time that I would have to get up, even at a charity event with a microphone in my hand. I would black out. I actually remembered once I was videotaped at a charity event on stage. Someone had to be a microphone. I watched the video later and didn't remember ever being there.
Well.
That's how scared I was. So for me, I knew I needed to have help because I wasn't going to be quitting my daytime soap job anytime soon, and it was going to continue to be in my life, this disconnect. So it took me, and I didn't want people to think this is going to be typical for them, it took me 7 years and 13 different coaches.
voice coaches, acting coaches, on-camera coaches, commercial coaches, TV hosting coaches. I learned all of the performance stuff. I learned how to get rid of my accent. I learned how to use my voice. I learned how to hold my head, how to stand, how to do all these things, how to read a teleprompter, how to have a mirror prompter. I learned all of that stuff. And I couldn't move anybody to buy anything if, let's just say, I was doing an infomercial. Nobody would move to action. And the reason why is that I was doing all the right things and I was practicing being perfect because as a little girl that didn't think she was worthy, the way I thought I would make everybody like me is to be perfect. And I know that there's a lot of women out there that try to do that same thing. In the back of their mind, they're still trying to be perfect. You need to let that go. The day that I had a breakthrough, I was doing all of those things. Somebody had actually hired me without realizing that, you know, I had this ability to not be rehired by production people because I couldn't move any product. Somebody actually hired me for another infomercial. I had another shot. And, of course, I'm doubly nervous because it's been a while since I had the opportunity and I had a co-host. Both of us started to laugh. It was a late day. You know, you kind of get the giggles. It was hot. Maybe physically we just reached a point where we just started to crack up. And I waited for the director to yell cut so we could collect ourselves and start over again. And we had a teleprompter. Well, the teleprompter didn't stop and the director didn't yell cut. So we kind of looked at each other and we just kind of kept going thinking, well, he's not going to take this. He's not really still recording this. I guess we're continuing as a rehearsal. So I took the pressure of being perfect off because I thought he's never going to keep this. I've messed up his script. I've messed up the words. I'm not saying things perfectly. And in fact, as we continued to read the script, I would look over at my co-host and like giggle or laugh or something, come back, and I would have missed a couple of words in the script. And I thought, well, this is definitely not something he's going to keep. So I just sort of like had a happy way of getting through it. And in the end, there was a silence, and I thought, oh, my God, I messed up his script. I'm going to be fired on the spot. This has gotten so much worse than I thought it could ever be. And he came out, and he looked at us, and he said, that was fantastic. You need to do that for the rest of the shoot. And I didn't get it for a second because I was trying so hard to be that perfect host, posed perfectly, hair coiffed perfectly, saying the words perfectly. And I realized, you know what? He just saw us goofing off and being ourselves, being in the moment and not really worrying about the posturing and the gesturing and all of that stuff. That's really what it comes down to. And from that day forward, I started to be called back to jobs. I started booking jobs easier. I started to be able to move product whenever I would speak. And I started to get confidence, believe it or not, this was the bonus, walking into live situations. I used to be the person that would hold on to someone whenever I walked into a party or a room full of people. And if that person I was holding on to had to go to the bathroom, God forbid, my heart was in my throat until they came back. I started to realize that I could walk up to strangers and start a conversation. It wasn't comfortable at first, but I was able to do it. And it was I realized I could talk to an inanimate object and have fun, the rest of my life started to go, well, if somebody actually speaks back to me, how easy is that going to be? And Joanne, that's what you said. If you're comfortable because you talk to people and you get that energy of the room back at you, you're used to talking to people and you can gauge anybody that speaks to groups, whether they're big or small. When you talk to somebody, you gauge the temperature of the room. You gauge, like, are they listening to me? Are they not? Do I have the person over here on the left? The person on the right's falling asleep. I'll step over there and wake them up. You know, you can work the energy of a room, but when you're talking to an inanimate object, like a camera lens, sometimes it really freaks people out, and their energy that they have naturally can change completely. And my secret to that is, you know, I have exercises that I work through with people that just take a few minutes, where I have them go back and revisit somebody that they helped and then talk through the camera lens. You don't talk at the camera lens because when you talk at it, your energy bounces right back at you, and then you don't know where you are or what you're doing. And that's when people go, I remembered all of my lines, the light went on the camera, and I can't remember anything.
So, Sandra, I can't remember my next point. What happens if somebody still has the jitters and they come to you because that right now not only are you still acting, but you have this studio, you're training people mm-hmm. to do what you do. How do you say to somebody, okay, be yourself? Well, that sounds great, but how do you get them to be themselves?
Yeah. It didn't mean anything to me when somebody said it to me. So I generally don't, you know what, I don't say that as a direction. I say that when I'm trying to differentiate between trying to be perfect and being yourself. But when somebody comes in to work with me, I don't say just be yourself. I have to find out who they are. You need to find out who you are. Because I have people come in that own their business, for instance, they are their business. They come in and say, so what do you love to do? I love to empower people in my coaching program. Okay. What do you love to do with your life? And they'll stick with that. They like, that's their road. They identify with their business and only their business. So generally speaking, with those people, sometimes I will take them completely away from their business. And I'll say, what do you do for fun? Do you dance? Do you work out? Do you go hike? Do you play with your kids? Do you have dogs? Do you, you know, do you volunteer? Why do you volunteer? What do you get out of that? You know, and then I actually find out, and sometimes if I have to, I'll go all the way back into their history and find out what they've been doing since they were a kid that lights them up. And we find that in their current life. And sometimes, here's the trick, I'll turn the camera on while they're talking about that stuff. And then I'll have them talk about their business, and sometimes there'll be a disconnect because they step into business mode.
Right.
And then I'll play back when they were talking about the stuff they're passionate about. Their face is different. Their body's different. Their voice is different. Everything is so much more enjoyable to watch when you're talking about something that you love. So if you love your business, great. If you are playing business, if you're playing business owner and you try to do a video, it's not going to work. You have to find something. And if you're, you know, if you're having a bad day or you're really burned out on your business, I've had people come in to go, I have a business, I'm getting ready to start a nonprofit, and I found out that the business feeds their nonprofit. They are passionate about the purpose of their nonprofit. They are not passionate anymore about their business. This is a problem because they're here with me because they need to make business videos. Do you see the
right.
problem?
Yeah.
So the way I do that is I actually incorporate what their passion is because that business is supporting their nonprofit. Until, you know, maybe you can sell the business in the future if you're really burned on it. But for the time being, you have to live in the moment. You have to create a video for a product or for a business that maybe you're not feeling 100% up and passionate about. Find that thing in your life that you are passionate about and tie it into your message. Not only is this going to give you your ability to light up and have your voice have better energy and just have more fun, but it will also differentiate you. So the real estate agent that loves baseball, that's starting a charity for kids revolving around baseball, can do a blog on her homes that is, okay, Monday morning we're going to be in the dugout. She sits in her kitchen, which is the dugout. This is the name of her blog. She, you know, drinks her coffee out of a mug with her baseball logo on it, and she tells people first base is finding the neighborhood that you want to live in. Second base is finding that home that's going to be appropriate for your family. Third base is getting the mortgage that you're going to need. Do you see what I mean? So she changed.
So you got to get that excitement and
bring it
really,
together.
Right. Now you and I
together.
Have spoken because when we were talking last time, I was actually making some videos for my business to upload
right.
to my website and I ran into some glitches, and I'm sure that these are some glitches that not only I run into, but particularly when we don't have a cameraman or a camera woman doing it.
Okay,
so I was doing
tell
it
me
myself.
Glitches. What happened?
Okay.
What happened?
Well, firstly, I was blinking like crazy, and so I kept. Do you know a video that was actually going to be 10 minutes long probably took 2.5 hours because
yeah.
of the self-consciousness, not because of the words I could speak. It was because of the critiquing, I kept looking at, oh, my goodness, look at my eyes, and then I turn it off and start all over again. Or
yes.
I start looking at my mouth and seeing how it was doing weird things, and I turn the video off. So I was so self-conscious because I was,
yep.
I was like, I guess it was that perfect thing.
Yeah.
What do you
it
do
is.
For
it's-
people like-
Realize, first of all, realize that it's totally normal. I did the same thing. And by the way, if I bring somebody into a studio and I'm shooting a 10-minute, we have a 10-minute video as a project for the day, it takes at least 2 hours. So don't feel bad because that's actually pretty typical. If I'm bringing someone into a studio, we have to light, we have to set everything up, and for them to go over it and do several takes and make sure we have it clean. And, you know, it takes about 2 hours. So I don't think that you're going to go in to do a 10-minute video and you're going to be out in 15 minutes. Give yourself some time, especially if you are not used to being able to do it. When I'm doing a 10-minute video, I would give myself at least an hour because I'm picky too. But the thing that you went through is what I had to nickname. I had to give it a name. I called it the tunnel of self-deprecation. Women go through the tunnel in a very, very deep way. Men, you know, they pass through the tunnel. Sometimes they linger a little longer, but they always come out. Everybody always comes out the other side. And what the reason that we go into that mode of, oh, my gosh, I look horrible, I'm blinking too much. For me, it was, you know, my hair looks stringy, I move my mouth funny, my teeth are crooked. We all see stuff. But by the way, other people don't see, okay?
Are you sure other people don't see
they
that?
They don't. They truly don't. I guarantee you that people do not necessarily look at my video and go, wow, her hair looks stringy. I have, you know, fine hair. And sometimes I can see the light through it when I'm doing my videos, and I get so frustrated. It's not something that other people are going to notice, but it's what I focused on. And here's why. We are not used to seeing ourselves in walking, talking form. We are used to seeing ourselves in front of a mirror. And some people go, well, I look in the mirror all the time. I'm used to seeing that. No, we look in the mirror, to be quite honest, ladies especially, we put our makeup on where the lighting is good, don't we? Even if
Definitely.
We're traveling, we don't go into, like, the airplane bathroom and try to put makeup on, right?
when we go in those bathrooms and look at ourselves, it's horrible.
It's horrible, right? So the idea is that we pump ourselves up before we walk out. We usually have a place where we put our makeup on, where we can, you know, we position our head just so, we put our makeup on just so, the light is just so, and we feel confident that this is how we look and this is how we are presenting ourselves to the world. We don't see ourselves walking, talking, breathing, gesturing. We just don't see ourselves like that. So the first time that you see yourself, you know, on camera, on a video, it's kind of like, remember the first time you heard yourself leaving a voicemail message?
So
and you went, I don't sound like that, right? And you redid it 17 times. This is the
right.
same thing. It's just a new genre. It's just a new way of looking at yourself. So give yourself a break. And the blinking, there's two reasons for this. Sometimes you do blink more, and it's because there is energy pumping through your body, and you don't quite know what to do with it, and that's how it comes out. Other people will fidget or gesture or sway or lean back and forth or flip their hair. People do various things with the extra energy that's the adrenaline that is kind of pumping through. You know, it's that nervous energy. It can work for you 100%. The other reason that you think you could be blinking a lot is that you're just conscious of it. So the first thing I want to say is forget about it. Don't think about the fact that you're blinking. Everybody blinks. It's normal. And you may not be blinking any more than you usually do. But because we're not used to seeing ourselves doing that, you may focus on it and go, why am I blinking so much? And if you forget about it and really concentrate on, and here's the key, your message and the person you're delivering it to. It's about them, not you. It's the same concept of when you get up to speak on a stage. It's about them, not you. So I had someone say to me, and it's funny how all of this came together after I reached the point where I had cracked up and I thought I was going to be fired, and I realized I could just relax with this whole thing. So I did the training, and I just trusted that the training would be there. I would always be able to use my voice. I'd always know how I could stand to look thinner, and that stuff would just be there. But I had to just work on relaxing and enjoying the moment and playing. I took an improvisation class, an acting class that's improvisation, which makes you, it forces you to think positively, and it forces you to think in the moment. See, when you're doing an improv class, you can't be negative about anything. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, right. Well, I've done that, so yeah.
Yeah, so you can't
That'd
say no.
Positive. Right, and it's,
right.
And it's
exactly.
Like you said, it's fun, it's playful. But here's another thing, because when somebody's shooting me and I'm engaged mm-hmm. in conversation, I feel much, and again, I'm representing other people, but this is true.
Sure.
I feel a lot more comfortable than when I'm shooting the video because, I guess, because there's more of an engagement of conversation, and I feel like there's something more real happening than just being staged in a way. And so, like, even my interviews that I've done where people are asking me questions, they seem to me more engaging and more alive than when I'm standing in front of a camera. The other thing is, I like to move my body. I need to, that's part of that energy thing. So I like
Yay.
To be aggressive with my hands and my body. And when
yes.
I'm standing in front of this little Logitech camera thing, I finally got it last week. But I'm like much more rigid, which is probably why that blinking is happening. Like you said, it's about
yeah.
needing to extend that.
It.
But so.
Yeah.
How do you incorporate all that?
Do you know a solution?
Yeah.
I love that you said that you love to use your body. Thank goodness. What I want you to do, even if it's just for fun and play initially, look into that camera after you have it set up and realize how big your frame is. How much space do you have to move? And then use all of it. So let me give you, for instance, can I give you an example of a hosting client? Okay, so this guy, I work with television hosts as well. And this girl is amazing. She's fantastic. But she says, I really need, you know, she's had a couple of occasions to really had her own show. And she was kind of a shoo-in, but she went in to audition for the big wigs because everybody underneath knew her. And she went into audition, and she can't audition. She was horrible. Marlon Brando also was horrible at auditioning. They had to go see him live because he could not audition. And so she walked in. She goes, I'm like Marlon Brando. I said, well, that's great, but it's not going to get you hired. So let's figure out what we can do. So this woman, very in her body, she's super expressive. She walks into a room, puts her arms out, gives you a big hug. She's just a big, you know, full of love, full of high energy, kind of really exciting individual to be around. She walks into our fake audition process, holds her body and steps in front of the camera and holds her hands just so and does the whole, like, trying to be perfect and trying to be together and hold her body in front of the camera. It was terrible. And I said, this was terrible. And she goes, I know what happened to me. I can't even remember what I'm saying. I said, because you're not being yourself. I said, the way you walked into this room when you walked into the class. And she said, yeah. I said, I want you to walk into the audition like that. And literally walk in, and I want you to say to a casting director, and you can say this to yourself, how much room do I have? I said, and I want you to, you know, I said to the girl, I said, I want you to put your arms out as wide as they can go and ask them, how much space do I have on your camera? And she's like, really? I said, own this space. She's the type of person that owns the room when she walks in person. And I bet right. you are too, Joanne.
Right.
If you're coming you know, in to it, speak to somebody, you own that space, right?
That's
so
it,
why
yeah.
are you letting this little camera dictate how you should move or somebody that you, you know, that you ran into that said, and I love the they, whoever the they is out there that tells people not to use their hands. I want to shoot the person named they because it's wrong.
You know,
I've been on
interviews where I've actually sat with my hands folded, sort of, or put them behind my back, or sat on them, because
that's horrible.
I knew they were going to be flinging and flying, and I thought I got to control this. And now you're telling me I don't. So I love it.
You don't. And I will be the first person to tell you, this is where a coach comes in. So if you do have something, if you're gesturing like a wild person, then it's going to be distracting, yes. But most people are able to just be much more natural. If somebody tells you don't use your hands, or God forbid, Joanne, you're sitting on your hands, where is your mind? Your mind is going, keep sitting on your hands, keep sitting on your hands, hold your hands in your lap. You're not thinking about them. You're thinking
right.
about you. So it comes back to it's about them, the people that you need to reach. Whether you're being interviewed or you're doing your own video, it's about them, not you. So for you to be the highest energy level for you, you have to incorporate your body. You have to move. So when you walk in, set up your camera that you have space, and play with it. Try leaning in and out of the camera. Sometimes, most of the time, I'll tell people that's not a good thing to do, but for play, for just working in front of the camera, consider it like a workout. How do you get better at any sport? How do you get better at a workout class? How do you get better at lifting weight? You start easy and small,
right.
and you do it over and over again.
Right.
So play with it. Lean in and out of the camera. Walk back and forth. Try walking in your physical. Try walking into your shot, which may be tricky if you have an autofocus because it may take a second to focus on you. But,
right.
give it a try. Walk in, and as you put that last foot down and, you know, put a little mark on the ground so that you know where your camera is set to focus on you, and walk in, and as your foot sets right down, just as your foot starts to get right into that position, say, hi, welcome to my website, or whatever it is that you're going to say. Just play with it. Try to incorporate movement. If you're going to gesture, this is all I say, gesture fully. In other words, don't do little, if you're a person that uses their hands a lot, don't use your hands a little bit and keep your elbows close to your body and think that you're moving. I want you to really open up, gesture big, gesture broad, get into your body. If you're not utilizing your body, that's when that energy that you normally in real life use will go in strange places. You'll start to sway, you'll blink too much, you'll you know, it'll go up into your head and you'll start to forget things. Get into your body, use your body. Understand it's not about that perfect training. That's why when I work with people, I work upside down and backwards. I work with the, you know, finding their passion, finding their natural gifts in communication, finding that part where they have fun, they like looking at themselves, and then we work on the messaging and the posturing and the positioning and the quote-unquote performance aspect of it. Because it's that really is the least of importance. Remember I said I was doing all of that performance stuff,
right,
and reading all of the words right, and I couldn't get anybody to move to action. I couldn't sell anything on camera. I couldn't get anybody to donate much of anything. And it was because I was in my head and not thinking about what I needed to accomplish. And I wasn't comfortable in my own skin.
Now, if someone is being interviewed and the interviewer is a television host and on anchor or whatever, and they are, when you look at them, they're not doing those gestures. They seem very kind of staid and then
there's a
you're
difference.
Doing all... But if you're doing all
difference.
That, are they going to be comfortable with that? Is it, I mean,
yes.
I'm just
yes.
looking back to what, okay. I do it when I'm doing seminars, and I know that the movement and the, because my body gets into it, and it's part of the
right.
energy, and it gets, you know, it brings more energy and life into the audience. But when I'm
right.
sitting in front of an interviewer, it doesn't feel like it's part of the custom, or I don't
good,
know.
Good point. So there's two ways of looking at this. The getting into your body and playing, do that on your own, and you utilize, understand how it feels, how it looks, and when you're doing your own videos, you have that freedom. When you're in a very controlled situation where you have a tight frame, you're doing an interview, let's say you're in the media and you've got an anchor or someone that's interviewing you, it's different. And also realize that anchor is trained differently. I train news anchors as well. They are taught in a much different fashion than an entrepreneur or an expert. So right now I'm addressing the folks in your audience that are not looking to be anchors and reporters because they're taught slightly differently. They have technique. They have that the interview skills that are ingrained into them. They have a certain way that they are taught. An expert, an entrepreneur, a television personality is a lot different. There's a lot more freedom there. You have a lot more ability to be in your skin and do what you want. You are not regulated the way they are. On the other hand, you are in a very controlled environment. So you need, and that comes with practice, to be quite honest. You know, the comfort in this comes from practice, but you're in that controlled environment. But in that environment, if you are a person that utilizes your body, understand that you can still use your body, even if you're seated. What people don't get is that there's little movements in our shoulders and our neck. You know, whenever you're sitting at the computer and you get stiff after a while, don't you kind of like roll your shoulders and move your neck around a little bit to loosen that up?
Yep. Uh-huh.
That little bit of movement in your shoulders and in your neck and in your head and, you know, your gestures and that little tiny bit of softness in the upper body does wonders for making you look comfortable on camera, and what it's doing for you mentally and physically is allowing you to utilize a little bit of that energy, even though you're just in your upper body and you have that, you know. But that comes from that comfort in that situation, Joanne, does have to come from some experience and some training. But the first thing, the worst thing for me is to see someone that actually holds themselves still in their body, because they think that I can't move, so they don't move the shoulders, they don't move their head, they don't breathe correctly, because that's what happens when you do that. When you stop moving your shoulders and you get stiff, you start to breathe only shallow breaths from your upper diaphragm, and you're not breathing from your stomach. If you breathe from your stomach, you allow more oxygen coming through, your voice sounds better, you allow your shoulders to be a little more loose, your neck a little more loose, so roll those shoulders, move your neck around before you start the interview, and realize that all of that freedom in your body can actually be encapsulated in that upper body. You can still look very relaxed, but the second that you freeze up and you sit on your hands or you hold your shoulders together, your focals are going to tighten up because your breathing is different. It's going to, and then as all of that happens, you're holding all that tightness in your body, you're not going to feel good. You're
now,
going to feel constricted.
Now, I want to introduce you again. So, folks, we're talking to Sandra D. Robinson on Camera Impact.
And this is Power Your Life with Joanne White, and it's 805-285-9790. You and I were going so strong, we lost somebody who may have had a question. So I apologize out there. You can call back. But what about, now we're talking about me and those people out there who are comfortable in their bodies and they're used to moving.
Mm-hmm.
What about somebody who's an entrepreneur, Sandra, and has great products or great, you know, great
mm-hmm.
information to sell, but they aren't that comfortable in their bodies? Does the same thing hold true? They need to get, how do you teach them to kind of get into their body so that they're not so rigid? Is the same way that you've been talking to me, or is it a different style?
In some ways, yeah. Usually I will find something that if they're physical at all, if they work out at all, if they dance, I'll find out, like, you know, what do you do that utilizes your body? Usually somebody has something, you know, even if it's just a simple workout that they do. I can then kind of get them into the appreciation of how they move their body and you know, kind of work with that. And it sounds kind of like a strange approach when when people consider me in the category of media trainer. What does talking about how you work out have to do with how you appear on camera? It's huge. It's all about getting in touch with your body and getting comfortable with how you move. And so I'll start with that. If somebody doesn't work out, if they're really not connected to their body, you know, if they're not really healthy or health-oriented and they still have to do this video, they've got to get up there, then I go into the, you know, the mental part of it to help somebody be prepared. And this is the next step anyway, to help somebody be prepared with their message. It's number one, invite them not to memorize. Please don't memorize. The second that you try to memorize your message verbatim is when you can really get in trouble. And then the anxiety kicks up even more, because if you forget one little bit of what you think you're going to say and how you think you should say it, then you're searching up into your head for where you should be and where is your attention. It's on you. It's not on them. So my suggestion is bullet point. You can do this if you're doing a media interview. You can do this if you're doing your own interview. I'm not going to lie. I'll do 3 bullet points, usually no more than 3. That's for media, and, you know, maybe up to 5, depending on how you're being interviewed or what your topic is. But you definitely want to keep it around 3, because that's all people are going to remember anyway. So if they can walk away with 1 out of those 3 that sticks with them, then you've done a great job. If you give people too much information, they're going to be overwhelmed, and you're going to be overwhelmed, and it's just easier to keep things really simple. It's easier for you. It's more relaxing for you. So bullet points, and I'm not going to lie. I'll put 3 bullet points and tape them to the very, very bottom of my camera sometimes when I'm doing my videos. I'll just glance down and see a word at that bullet point and go, okay, this is, you know, point number 2 and point number 3. And it keeps me there. Understand, you know your stuff inside and out. You talk about it all the time to people, Joanne, and everybody gets asked for their business. They get asked questions all the time. So they know how to answer. You know your stuff. Trust that
you know
your
I'm always amazed when I see actors like you who mm-hmm. who are on and they're doing these movies, and because I can ad lib, I can do exactly what you do, but one mm-hmm. time I had to be in front of a video camera and they gave me a script, even though it was my words, they gave it back to me and I did exactly what you said, I froze. So we
yeah.
had to take the shoot over again, and rather than have me memorize, because I don't know how to memorize. I mean, maybe when I was in grade school I had to memorize, but that's
right.
long gone. So when I was able to just be myself, like you're saying, and also what the camera person did off camera was ask me some questions that
mm-hmm.
that were related
yeah.
to it, but so it got me talking and being more natural. That was the only way it worked. How do you, when you have
that's
a script,
an option
so,
too.
You
know, before you go any further, that's an option to have somebody interview you. If you really have a fear or a discomfort, you can start and you have to get a video done for your business. You can do it interview style, which is where the person asks you a question. You repeat the question and you look slightly off camera at that person. It can be done that way. It can be done that way. But I think it's much more empowering for a human being, as it was for me, to be able to learn to look straight into the camera and own that space. It's huge for your business, for your psyche, to be able to know that you can conquer that. But if you really have to get it done, like you said, doing an interview where somebody's feeding you questions is a good place to start. It's a good way to start. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out.
No, that's okay. I'm just thinking, how do you, when you have a script that you, for you, I mean, when you're doing a film and the director sees it one way and the writer has, the screenwriter has it another way, I mean, you have to memorize it, right? I mean, you can't So how do you do that? I'm just curious.
Well, it's,
my brain won't carry it.
It's interesting, and it's definitely not really related to, you know, to me helping people, because I'm saying don't memorize. But in the case of being an actor, you have to memorize. And I learned trial by fire. I mean, my first jobs, my first six, nine, I mean, I've done 14 years of daytime soap operas as a lead character. So my first 6 years in the business, I was a lead role on national show, and I was doing quite often 35 pages of dialogue a day. And people are like, how do you do that? And I, you know, after being in the industry for a while, I started to kind of ask around, and I don't know if it's a case of like the chicken or the egg, which came first, but I do notice that a lot of soap opera actors in that position have a photographic memory, or at least somewhat of a photographic memory. I know I do, that if I went up on a line, if I forgot a line, and I needed help in rehearsal to find it, I would say, it's on page 54 at the top right-hand corner. What's that word? And people were like, you know, it wasn't really that unusual, because the woman that played my mother did the same thing. And I started asking around, and people were like, yeah, I can see the page in my head. And
but for those of you out, for those of you out there, because I want to shift to your book a little bit, who don't need to do that, thank goodness. We're not all going to be famous actresses like you are. They don't need to do that, but they need to figure out a way, like with all these incredible tips, being themselves, getting their energy flowing, and really looking not at the camera, but really through the camera to the people that they're connecting with. Tell us about this book, Make an Impact, 7 Secrets to Creating an Influential Visual Brand Both on Camera and Off.
Yeah, we changed the subtitle. It's at the graphic artist right now, and during that process, we decided to change the subtitle. So it's still called Make an Impact. It's how to refine the five elements of your charismatic brand. So it's all about developing your charismatic brand that is unique to you, and really helping you to make the impact that, like I, you know, as I believe that we're all designed by God to make a specific impact in the world, and it doesn't have to be huge. You know, for some people, it's a very small, intimate impact. For others, they're going to be off building orphanages in Africa. That's not for everybody. You're designed to do, you know, whatever it is. You have your unique gifts, and you have a path that is specifically for you. And I'm just there to hold the place and encourage people to step into that spot where they can own that and move forward and create something with it. And in the process, you know, always when you step into a new genre, Joanne, whether it's starting your business, getting in front of people speaking, or getting in front of a camera, it's a new thing and your stuff comes up, right? So I really help people get over that stuff, because just when we think that we've got it conquered and we've got those negative beliefs all taken care of and we feel confident, we get into a new thing, starting a business, getting in front of a camera, and it's like, oh my gosh, there's that thing that I thought I worked on, it's back in my face again. So, you know, I help people get through that. I help them understand the logistics of getting in front of a camera, like we're talking about the blinking and the energy and, you know, not worrying so much about being perfect. That's a refinement that comes on afterwards. And that's what the book is really about. You know, I talk about understanding that the basis of everything about your brand starts with your story, not the story that, you know, about your business, your story. What makes you? Why do you love what you're doing? Why do you do what you're doing? You know, and it's probably something that's been ingrained. Something about what you do has been ingrained in you since you were a little kid. You know, one of those first memories that you can think back on probably involves something that you're doing right now. So that's what I mean about your story and the transition that you went through to create the person that you are today. And that's what people are going to identify with. And then I help people get excited about sharing what they're bringing to the world, how they sell their stuff, you know. And then we get into the practical things about preparing your body and your brain, which is what we're talking about here, you know, getting into your body, getting the feel for, you know, how your body moves and how you're most comfortable, and then getting into your head, not memorizing, getting the bullet points down, knowing those things that you're going to say. That's the kind of stuff that I cover in the book, and it'll be out in a couple of months. We had one edit done and decided to go back and shift it. And like I said, changed the subtitle. And this is the stuff that happens when you're a recovering perfectionist, I guess. You know?
Okay. So actually, you already have so much energy, and it sounds like you're so passionate about what you're doing that you convey it so easily to other people, which is wonderful. You're also a strong advocate of environmental issues. And support groups like the Environmental Defense Fund and the Humane Society, which I do as well, so I'm happy about that. But how do people get a hold of you? And I'm ready to move to California.
Yay! Only to
study with you, but that's not going to happen to me.
But you don't have to be here in order to do that. Charisma on Camera is the website, so if you go to charismaoncamera.com, you can actually jump in to get some free training. It works. The free training we offer on the site is a DVD. It's downloadable, so you don't have to even wait. You get it instantly. And it's the first part of my three-part training system, which is the fundamentals, the basics of how to get yourself comfortable on camera. So if you're just like leaping into this and go, I don't really know if I can, you know, if this is going to help me, get a little taste of how I work by getting that. And it's on the site, top right-hand corner. It's very obvious. And you can get that today at charismaoncamera.com and get started and know that there's much more than that. I can work with people via Skype. I do an online training program right now with a small group, and we work together every single week, and I do private Skype sessions with that group. So we actually work on everybody's. It's like a small group workshop. It's kind of cool, but it's online.
Okay.
So you have to be here. And if you are in LA, then of course I can work with you live, or you can come to one of the live events or the, you know, intensive weekend. So I'm here to support people at whatever level they are. I've got, you know, my clients that are doing, you know, traveling internationally and doing documentaries on themselves, hosting their own shows. But I've also got clients that, you know, are just stepping in front of the camera, just starting to utilize video for their business. So wherever you are, I'm here to support you and get you moving forward so that you can create the impact that I know that you're designed to create.
Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and you know I'm getting ready to have a television show, so you know that we're going to be speaking, we're going to be talking, whether it's through Skype or whatever, because I love what you have to say, and I love the passion that you convey, and not only that, those few tips that you gave me really, really are incredibly helpful, so thank you, and thanks for being such a wonderful guest.
Well, it was awesome, and I'm looking forward to your show, too, because I love to support anything that is positive programming. It's such a huge, important part of a movement that I see happening to bring positive programming and not so much of the violence and all of that. So I'm so excited that you're bringing some positive stuff. Yay!
Well, thank you, and have a great day, and thanks again for doing this over, because you did a great job the first time, and now it's even better.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
Thanks a lot. Take care. And folks, because tomorrow is Wednesday, we're having our regular Power Your Life radio show, and we're bringing on Marnie Swedberg, who's going to be talking about time management strategies of Olympians, presidents, and CEOs. So stay tuned. Wednesday, that's tomorrow at noon Eastern Time, and this is Joanne White wishing you a blessed day. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to my website, docwhite.org, and thanks for sharing your day with us.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.